great.
So be careful.
All right, welcome to the Audit Committee meeting of June 17th, 2025. And the first item is approval of the Audit Committee minutes of March 18th.
I don't have any changes.
Was that a motion then?
I would love to make a motion to approve the Audit Committee minutes of March 18th, 2025.
I'll second it, I guess. All in favor? Aye. Okay.
Perfect.
Next item is the entrance interview. So I'll turn that to Heidi or you.
Sure. So Steve is here today. He is with our new external auditing firm, K&C CPAs, who have been around for a very, very long time under different names with different folks and are very well respected. And as you know, this group went through the RFP process and we are getting ready to begin audit in a few weeks. So it's always a good idea to have discussions with the firm to kind of go through what that process looks like. And yeah, Steve, I think, will lead us through that today.
Yep. Okay. Wonderful. Yeah, so it's audit season. Nobody likes to hear that, but that's just what it is. But our approach to auditing is similar to most other firms, at least, in that it's a risk-based audit approach, which is what the standards require. So we look at the overall entity, its processes, procedures, the internal controls. We were talking about the internal controls right before the meeting related to payroll. Mm-hmm. Those types of things we look at and get a feel for what's going on, and specifically we look for where could something go wrong if a control wasn't implemented, or is there some way to circumvent the controls. And based on our understanding of the city and its operations, we can then customize where additional procedures might be necessary to bolster up any potentially weak areas. That's standard everywhere we go. And having not really dug into the city's financials yet, and we don't know what potential risks there could be. However, there are two areas of risk that are by definition and in the standards as required to be considered as high risk. So there will be additional procedures related to those. Those two areas are revenue recognition, so the money that we're recording coming in. I think that spilled over more from the private company sector, where they're really profit-driven. Cities aren't so much. You don't really have shareholders that you have to get a return on investment for. But in this case, it's typically related to like bond covenants and things like that. Are we actually generating the profit margins that we need to based on debt service coverages, which is usually like 1.25% type thing, or 125% or 1.25 times. So we'll have additional procedures related to revenues and receivables, and that will probably include confirmations with outside entities, potentially confirming with customers, although that's not very common with city entities because most of it's utility bills, and most people probably don't even know what their last water bill was, at least for June 30th, so whatever. But we do have additional work for that.
It depends on where you live.
If somebody asked me what my bill was last month, whoa. And the second area is we look at management override of controls. So no matter how good your internal control processes are, if somebody has authority over the individuals implementing those controls, there's some pressure that they could circumvent those. And so we do look at those controls to see if somebody were inclined to put some pressure on, what could go wrong, and we may have additional testing related to maybe the procurement process or approving of payroll or payables, those types of things.
Now, apparently, I'm so connected to the developers in the community that I have a lot of gold in my basement from them. If you can find that, that would be worth it to me.
Gold in the basement.
You waited till we were recording to say that.
Yeah.
Did you see gold at 3,065 today?
Yeah. So I'm anxious to find that.
So we will ask fraud questions of council members, of
employees,
and things like that. And if there are, concerns or allegations of fraud or waste or abuse, then we will certainly look into those. And if there's anything that's credible or significant, we certainly will pass those up the chain of command and report directly to the audit committee and governance if it's significant enough. Same thing with internal controls. If we're going through the processes and we see that there's a weakness that could result in a material misstatement, like a really big error, then we may bring that to your attention sooner rather than later if it is deemed necessary. Looking at previous reports, I haven't seen anything reported negatively on the internal control, so I don't anticipate that's the case. And talking with those that have previously worked at the city here, they've said the same thing. You guys have a really good team here. Things run smoothly. So I don't anticipate anything like that, but that is there so that you can then continue your responsibility of helping to oversee the processes here at the city. A lot of the other work that we'll do in the beginning months here at the end of June, middle of January, or July, is going to be inventory counts. We're trying to get those scheduled and just figure out what works with the teams here. And then we'll probably start on some preliminary audit procedures in July, which is really everything that has nothing to do with the numbers. So we're going to go through and ask all of the boring questions about what are your processes and procedures and what are you doing, how many people here, blah, blah, blah. It goes on for days. And honestly, that's the boring part of the audit. But
reading all the minutes.
We've already had somebody read through up through the May meeting minutes, yeah.
Great.
Wow.
Yeah. So as soon as we had the okay to go, so
kind of make sure that the action that happens in the meeting actually carries forward on the financials.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where we read about any new agreements or contracts. It helps us to get a better understanding, like a big picture of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're kind of limited to just what we're told in the finance department. And, you know, one of the requirements is that we have to maintain professional skepticism, which is a healthy dose of paranoia about what we're being told.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't just take what Heidi tells us at face value. We look to those external sources. And meeting minutes is actually a great way to see what's going on and, you know, where concerns may be. If members of the public did mention something about a hidden treasure trove somewhere.
I haven't had it lately, but over the years, I've definitely been accused.
I'm sure you have squirrels in your attic. That much we know from the last meeting.
Yeah.
Did they audit those?
I mean, you'll see that in the minutes. If you read the minutes from the last meeting.
There's a good, healthy discussion on squirrels.
Yeah, reading through mothballs, many council meetings, different cities,
Center
all their
Street.
Minutes.
I drove over today.
I mean, who needs
it's
Tolstoy?
It's happening
more, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it's more entertaining.
Yeah, I can see that.
When you have council meetings like the last one
that
I attended
with
the internet concerns, those are the more entertaining ones where you get individuals that have strong opinions and often valid concerns, and that's when they're brought up. So we read through those.
Yeah.
We love boring.
It's good. So that's
we
part of our...
We strive for boring.
Yeah.
That's true.
So that's part of our procedures. We're definitely going to look at any new bonds issued or new loans or leases. The new standard that's required this year is the compensated absences standard. So GASB 101. I don't imagine that will change things too much. It hasn't for most people. There's been a few cases where it's been a pretty significant change in the number, but for most, it's probably fine. And if we get into it and we realize that we have to do something else, we can certainly coordinate and get that updated.
I don't anticipate it'll be a problem.
Yeah, whenever there's new standards, we certainly take the approach of, if it's a first year, we want to make sure things get done right. And so if there's any correction needed, we're not here to play a gotcha situation. We want to make sure it's right at the end of the day and then provide whatever help and training necessary. But I'm sure we'll be good.
Are you aware of any of the other Davis County entities that were early implementers that adopted it last year?
South Davis Sewer District implemented it. I mean, they're at 1231, so their information's available.
Okay.
I don't know about
Davis County did.
Bountiful City probably did. I'd have to go and look. I wasn't the partner on that one, but we do audit Bountiful City.
Okay.
And Tyson, their finance director, I don't know if you've met him before. He's one that would likely
really
implement.
I would think so, yeah.
As you get looking at it when you're preparing things, if you have any questions, just shoot them over and we can chat over what might be some hang-ups.
So the change is related to our sick leave banks that we have that each employee has, where before we didn't have to really recognize the liability for those. Now we're required to take a measurement and determine how much we think would be used in the upcoming year based on a historical period. I think there's a few different ways to measure it, which makes it tricky.
Hmm.
But anyways, it will be a new change that, to have to accrue that every year.
So when you say there's a few different ways, do you just pick one and live with that?
I think the challenge is you don't want to go with necessarily the one that's going to be most beneficial the first year. You want to pick what's going to be good long term, so you're not always changing based on. So that's why I'm curious to see. Our auditors last year wanted us to early adopt, and I thought I'd really rather see what other folks are doing, what they're finding as they're running their calculations. But GFOA's put out some good worksheets on it as well, so I don't think it'd be too crazy for us.
As we've gone through and audited several entities, and we do a lot of consulting work, so we prepare the books for those. When we're implementing GASB 101 at these places, we found that even sometimes the examples that the GFOA gave isn't necessarily a good fit for what the smaller cities do, for example. Theirs are kind of based for really large cities where you pull a sample of employees and da-da-da-da-da. So it really just depends how you want to do it. The standard is very wide open in terms of how you determine that. It just says management estimates what is there. So it's certainly good input to follow kind of what the GFOA says, but they still have that caveat all over there saying, do not rely on this and all that. But whatever, our suggestion is usually whatever makes sense and can be repeatable year after year, then that's probably a good management approach.
Yeah.
So
we'll figure things out.
I
agree with Heidi. It's not. I don't think it'll be a big problem for us.
Yeah, it should be good. In terms of timeline for when we start coming on site for the audit, that really we'll just coordinate and see when the books get closed out, when everything comes in. Usually, it's sometimes after 2 months. We're still typically waiting for property tax final settlements and sales tax numbers to come in and all of that. And then you always have contractor invoices for road projects that sometimes drag on a bit before you get them in. So, but we'll certainly coordinate, and we're flexible. We're like a mile down the road, so it was like a
five-minute
drive to get here.
Oh, that's great.
So, we're pretty flexible. We can come over whenever, and we can do a lot remotely as well. So, we may have one or two people here on site, but then maybe two or three off-site working at the office or wherever they may be. We have one person that lives up in Cache County, Brigham City, that's where she lives. So she works from home mostly, so she may be working on it. She's really sharp. But
great.
Yeah. Any questions you have for me on approach? I don't want to just sit and go through everything we're going to do because that's boring.
Well, we kind of know what you're going to do. My one question I have is, do you expect that this audit, if we use you for multiple years, which we would assume we might. Do you think the first time audit is a little more complicated for you guys or compared to maybe a second or a third year?
Sure, yeah, it always is, even though, I mean, we audit probably more than 50 government entities every year. Every entity is unique. There's different processes and approaches to things. So that first year, there is a bit of a learning curve. The nice thing is we have so much government experience that it's not like earth-shatteringly new. It's just, okay, these are all the pieces.
Yeah.
How do you fit them together? And how does the information flow from A to Z? But then after the first year, we have all those narratives included and put in. So it probably will be a little more painful the first year for staff because we'll have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
but then second, third, and on,
yeah,
it's usually pretty smooth.
So you guys are planning for that, and you don't expect that you'll have a delay or...
Correct.
I know the council had a concern about making sure things got turned in on time, and so you just want to make sure you're planning on that, I guess.
Yeah, that's part of majority of what we're planning to do in July and August
before
the numbers are ready, as staff have time.
Yeah.
And you're just hopefully done with budget season almost.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
So
tonight.
Then you should have a little bit of lull in terms of that, but we do realize that closing out the year end is not easy either, so we're sensitive to that, and so we don't expect answers immediately, and we're not going to come out and just hound you all day. We might send out a couple emails throughout a few weeks and just see how that goes, and if it makes sense for us to come out on site for a day, then so be it.
Of Great. And there's four others on the finance team. If they could get access to upload things to SureLink. In the past, I've kind of been, not the bottleneck, but I don't want to be seen as the gatekeeper. We have, you know, an accounts payable specialist, a payroll specialist, a treasurer, and a utility billing clerk. So anything, they're kind of the keeper of their own records. So I would like them to have more ownership in kind of submitting those requests.
Yeah, we can definitely add those. And I think I put you on SureLink as the client admin, so you can add individuals there as well. Or if you just want to send me their email addresses and information,
I will poke around
that.
And take a look. I did look at that because I think we talked about it, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
I'll take another look.
Either way, if you don't see it right away,
it's a great idea to have those guys do that.
and then obviously the first year with SureLink, it's just kind of a vague thing. I tried to build it based off of what the financial statements showed. But as we get through things, we'll get that kind of customized to what you call the reports and who uploads what. We can maybe put names in there for
assignments.
I think so.
Where you can add assignments to different staff. So
yeah, should be able to.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, that should be helpful. Yeah, good question.
Great.
All right. Next item is review of the proposed utility hardship.
All right. So one of the things this group is trying to do is to review policies that we have in place and implement new policies. And so we've been talking about this hardship policy, feels like forever, well over. I think it came up at least 2 years ago. We looked at a draft in December or talked about it and then had a rough draft in March. And so just based on the discussions with the audit committee back from the March meeting, made a handful of changes. The one we changed the language on legal separation to just include separation so that people in domestic violence situations or other domestic situations could still qualify with substantiated evidence. So we included some language about that so that it's not all completely, which could be police reports, but we didn't exactly spell out, you know, the domestic violence piece. It kind of alludes to that. And then added the extension for an additional 6 month, an additional 3 month period with proof of continued need. And then the last item is an appeals process. So if we have a denial of an application, which I don't imagine, the qualifications are pretty straightforward. I don't think we're going to have that much gray area, but an appeals process for applicants that are denied through our administrative law judge. And I know we had talked about referring to the other section of our city code that talks about the administrative law judge, which is usually related to either business licensing or parking citations or other land use code enforcement. The language wasn't, it was very, very specific to those types of instances. And so I couldn't just say, we will follow the appeals process as contained in the business licensing or that, because it's so specific about being a business owner and all of this and that. We don't have a general area in our code that talks about the administrative appeal rights that the city has in place, and it's kind of a little bit different in each section. So I put this together, which just allows an appeal to be filed with the recorder to come before the law judge that, you know, it indicates that they will get a written response, that they have the opportunity for a hearing. So all of the things that would go in that process, and following the timelines that are outlined in the other areas, just without the additional language related to your business license or your property. And so the hope would be that we would finalize the draft tonight and then put it on the July 15th City Council meeting to take effect on July 1. So we'll be billing utilities the new utility rates for July on August 15th, since we always bill retroactive, and that we would have this policy in place to go with the water rate increase and other utility increases that we're considering tonight. So that we can tell people we do have, you know, some relief. This is what it involves. And I know we've had some interest. We've had some folks talk to our utility billing clerk just in the last couple of months. So
the exposure, though, to the city is really 50% of the bill
Yes.
For 90 days, and with possibly a second 90-day period.
Yes, with the opportunity to apply again every 36 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not a one and done. We talked about that in this group, and I know Lisa felt strongly that we, you know, leave it more flexible than that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I just didn't recall at this group, I didn't recall where we settled if we wanted every 24 months the ability to reapply or every 36 months after we decided that maybe 90 days would be not enough for some.
Yeah, I feel like we discussed the possibility of extension on the 90 days, but then pushing that reapplication out to the 36 months. I think that was kind of the compromise. So
that's kind of the timeline that seems to make sense in my mind, but.
Yeah, that's what I think it should be put.
Some people live in constant incidences, but an incident can take longer than 90 days. So I think that's a good compromise, because
we talked about some of these things being, you know, medically related, you know, if they have health issues or bills or things preventing them from working, that can certainly happen periodically.
Right.
So it's just, how much of an exposure we want to that. And the only other type of relief we provide right now is for military, active military, and we only have two, this let pass billing period, two subscribers to that. So
is it also a 50%?
It is not. I need to go.
Something different.
I need to take a look and see exactly what it is.
And would it fall under here or still be separate?
It falls. It's actually only related to water, and so it falls under the water utility ordinance. Uh-huh.
Okay. And specifically for military.
It is. It's for active military duty, and I feel like it's a calculation because it's the two accounts I looked at was different, and I just need to go back and refresh my memory on exactly how that works.
Has it deployed
and how long
only?
It lasts.
If they're deployed?
I believe so.
So the family has
the relief.
Interesting.
So I think if we are in favor of moving it forward and then letting the city council take a look and provide some feedback.
I certainly am in favor of this at this point.
Yeah, I feel like we've had a lot of discussions. So.
Doesn't really call for a motion, but I say we should have a motion and move it forward.
I just wanted to have one last chance to kind of see what would look like a somewhat finalized version that incorporates those changes. And also that appeals process was a little lengthy, so I wanted to make sure that this group was comfortable with that.
I think you can make a motion in the meeting if you want. I know we're a little stricter in council meeting, but I think if you decide this is something you want to recommend to the council.
I would make a motion that we forward this on to the city council for approval.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
The next item is our annual fraud risk assessment. The way the charter for the audit committee reads is to be presented to the audit committee in advance of the city council. So we'll be presenting this later on in the evening. So you get to see it twice tonight. Mm-hmm. And the good news is it has not changed. And the bad news is it has not changed. But we are still in the very lowest risk category. And we've stayed in that category since the first time that we have run this assessment. And the things that we could do to improve our score would be to have an IT and computer security policy, a cash receipting policy, and then the last one is to establish a formal internal audit function. And that's kind of the big one. That's 20 points. It's challenging with an organization our size. I try and do as much with internal audit as I can and using my experience in that area. But I, as a finance director, can't do internal audit. I would have to have somebody come in and make sure that I can set up policies and procedures and separation of duties and that kind of thing. But typically what I've seen cities discuss doing is having some reciprocal agreements where they would kind of go in and review each other. I'm on the board with the UGFOA, and they've talked about trying to get together a list of entities that would be interested, that have CPAs on their staff that would be interested in doing that. And it just hasn't come to fruition yet. It's still a new area, I think, for a lot of cities. So that would be the big
one. Boards I sit on, I don't think any of them come in at 365. To me,
really?
That was excellent.
Well, good.
You know, they're all in the, you know, 340s or 330s
sure.
and stuff.
Sure.
Where no one's at risk, but...
Some low-hanging fruit for us would be the cash receipting and deposits policy. We just really need to draft that, but it needs to come from our treasurer. And as you know, our treasurer is newer in the position and is getting familiar with it. And so she has now attended some conferences. She's going through some of the training through Weber State, through the formal treasurer training. And I think she's getting more comfortable with the idea of preparing that policy and drafting that for us. And luckily, we don't receive a lot of cash. The best thing I think that we ever did was stop receiving cash at the golf course, just because we have so many employees up there that are starting and terminating that training people would be really challenging. We would be up there every week training on cash handling a bunch of teenagers. So I think that is helpful. But other than that, just explaining what our deposit policy is, what happens when we receive cash at the counter, how do we count it at the end of the day, those types of controls. We have processes, we just haven't documented them, so.
And this is kind of the difference between an A and an A plus, or A plus and an A plus plus.
I know, but you always want to get perfect score, right?
Yeah, well, yes.
Yeah.
Of course the perfectionist in us does, but.
If everyone was getting perfect scores, they would move the goalposts back 10 yards and come up with
it's
something.
It's set up for not a perfect score, maybe.
Yeah.
That's
perfect
true.
Means
perfect
more
score means more.
We shouldn't
right?
say that
audit,
in front of
right?
the auditor.
No,
maybe you guys have a secret system.
Yes, you have a whole
perfect
slew
scores
of perfect
are suspicious.
Scores somewhere out there.
Nope.
That would be a cause for suspicion if we had a perfect score.
Yeah.
But the IT and computer security, honestly, I know that has grown to be such a huge concern. I'm surprised it's still only at
five points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel like that should be, I don't know. I'll put a word in with the auditor, right? The state auditor.
So. Along those lines, I mean, our IT company claims that they have just marvelous things in place. I don't know that that's, I don't think anyone's good enough at this point with the level of professional.
We can have them come and talk to us if you'd like.
Yeah.
Do we ever have a challenge, like a, where someone challenges our firewalls or... Is that
yeah, I think so. I mean, we have phishing all the time, which really gets through firewalls pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as harmful, you know, as somebody really coming in here and holding the city ransom. You know, that's usually what happens to cities.
I mean, in an audit type procedure, do they do a challenge? Is that a thing where they would go in and challenge your IT?
Our
security?
IT folks will do phishing emails
yeah.
with the employees to see who
oh, so that
is potentially, there's different things
system.
Like that. But and then the trust has grown really good. So every year now we report to the trust all of our IP addresses, all of the connections, all of our servers, and they somehow track data and report back to us.
They do.
Instances of security concerns. So
and do we have coverage through
the
trust?
We have insurance for it.
But to keep our coverage, we have to require, or we're required to give them all of that information, and they do some type of monitoring as well.
We didn't have insurance before the Clearfield incident. If you remember, Clearfield was kind of held hostage.
Oh, was it?
But,
when was that?
A few years ago, maybe 6 years ago.
Wow, I didn't
or so.
Know that.
They didn't pay, and that caused them to have some real problems. I mean, that's... No one should ever pay.
That's the policy.
But it was a significant problem for them.
Wow.
Cost them a lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah. Said that they even had to have some new hardware. And anyway.
Did they find? They were probably in Nigeria or somewhere.
They worked with the FBI, I think, and I don't know how that. I don't know what happened.
It's Russia or China.
Or
I mean,
and the government, but the government is implicit in it. Or, you know, it could stop.
And John Brooker has been working with the FBI group on security for our water systems.
Yeah, he is.
On all of that data.
The
good.
State's been really
so
good. The state's
good.
Put up some departments and employees that we participate in. So.
Yeah, that's a concern.
You know, I guess we have less concern about... We have some... We have names and addresses and phone numbers and emails. We've stopped holding Social Security numbers. I mean, I don't know that we have sensitive data about people. We have some credit card data that Express Bill Pay
is hopefully protecting.
That's Express, a third party.
So.
But cities, we could be held hostage. You know, somebody could lock down our system, and really, it would just paralyze us. You know, mm-hmm. and that's which is what happened at Clearfield. They mm-hmm. just couldn't operate at all, and so that's really the risk. It's not really a risk to the public of sensitive data, mm-hmm. or I don't think we're at risk of having a group steal money out of our bank accounts like you might have that risk at home mm-hmm. in your mm-hmm. you know with your debit card or whatever. Identity theft, we don't really have some of those things, but we could get jammed mm-hmm. and you know it would take a while to dig ourselves out of that, but we have insurance to cover it too. We're bringing in experts and stuff to help us.
I'm actually kind of surprised it doesn't happen more often then.
I don't,
just given
yeah,
how often I get emails from Chase and Target.
I mean,
and
there's some good
saying I just got hacked.
Yeah, there's some good products out there. We pay for some pretty robust products mm-hmm. through ETS, and all of our devices are have those things loaded up. So. Yeah, I hope that it never happens to us.
Me too. Not fun. Yes. Okay. I think, is that the last thing on our agenda?
We need to set our next meeting.
Oh, yes.
Right. And what do we want to bring back? What types of things do we want to work on? Or do you have assignments for the finance staff?
Well, when will the audit be complete?
December. Well, November.
Should be November. That's the original schedule.
And we shoot for four times a year?
We're required to meet quarterly per the charter. I know we took the boilerplate charter that the state auditor's office put out back in 2020 when they kind of set up these requirements for cities. And so that might be something we could take a look at to see if it's really working for what the goals of the committee are. Some of the language is a little weird in it. It doesn't necessarily pertain to us, so we could customize it a little bit. That might be a good task to do, to maybe give this
yeah.
group a little bit more guidance on how it's going to operate.
Okay, but are there mid-audit reports that are given, or is it kind of now and then?
Yeah, it's basically once it's done, that's when we'll have an exit conference, or probably in November when the audit's done. But any other questions that come up, we'll just go do by email, and certainly if any of you have questions, you can reach out.
Okay.
My cell number is at the bottom of my email, and so you can call me directly there.
Yeah, and I think any updates that we might have on, you know, the end of the fiscal year or something like that is going to go to the city council, not
yeah.
really to the audit committee. So I think
so time-wise we should look at early September, but I'm not one just to meet.
No, I would like to take a look at our policies, look at what's old and outdated, and maybe see if there's some things
yeah.
that we can bring back and kind of
okay.
talk about. So maybe a policy inventory and review would be a good meeting, and then we can kind of talk about where those other pieces that would get us the higher score fit into that.
The other thing, Heidi, I was wondering, maybe we've done this already, but it might be interesting for the audit committee to know what you do at the golf course with the retail side of that
of
operation, which we really haven't talked to these
sure.
guys about.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit in council about
mm-hmm.
how we do that, but it's kind of an audit related function
yeah.
that, you know.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
How the
just the monthly
how we try not to have
review.
Inventory and theft and,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we're doing to make sure cashiers are being ethical at the cash register, that kind of stuff. We don't take cash, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
That sounds good.
That might be an issue.
I think that would be good, especially the golf course has, they've got quite a few point of sale systems because they're running an event center and a cafe and tea times and a driving range and then the pro shop. And so reconciling that every month is just a lot of work. But it's good because I have access to all those systems. And so the moment I can see they're either not collecting sales tax on something or just something looks weird, I can reach out to them. But yeah, I would love to go over that and kind of take a look at how those different systems operate.
Maybe we could just explain to them what we have to do every month. And she does it.
No, but it's really important, I think, because our golf pro gets a bonus on, you know, operating income. Mm. And so we want to make sure that, obviously, incomes are reported properly. And now that they are, taking deposits for events that are happening in the future and things like that, recognition of that is really important as well. So,
So should we say September 2nd?
Sure.
Great.
Next topic. Anything else?
I don't have anything.
Well, let's adjourn this meeting. Thank you, Heidi.
All right, thank you. Thanks for coming early.
Good meeting, Heidi, as always.
Yep. Heidi makes it easy for us, so I'm sure she's going to make it easy for you as well.
We will try.
Nice.
We will try.
But you'll have healthy skepticism. So.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
these guys. These guys trust Heidi a little more than you.
Yes. Well, we want to do better. So we want to do if we're not doing something right.
Yeah. We may not bring our tinfoil hats, but we'll put on our tinfoil ties.
It's good. It's good to be a conspiracy theorist once in a while. I get it.
I used to be one, but all my conspiracies came true.
I'm
so
with you. We're gonna have to work on some new ones.
It takes the joy out of life.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Yes, thank you, everybody.
I don't have any conspiracy theories. I'm just putting my head.